argument is United States v. Rankin. Mr. Petro?
May it please the Court, Your Honors. My name is Mike Petro. I represent the appellate, Henry Rankin. On November 13th of 2002, late at night, a highly organized crew of 10 armed and uniformed agents and police officers entered Henry Rankin's home. Without a warrant, probable cause, exigent circumstances, or consent, the police searched the Rankin home and interrogated Henry Rankin. To allow this search to stand without a warrant guts the Fourth Amendment. Two key factors make this search illegal. The officers' actions in this particular case were in bad faith. They made no attempt to get the warrant. From 6 o'clock until approximately 10:40 at night. The second thing is when they went in the home, they never asked Mrs. Rankin for consent to search the premises.
Well, the district court found to the contrary, as I understand the record.
In
found that
respect?
She had consented.
Well, there seems to be an error with respect to the district court's reasoning. There's consent to enter the apartment, but then there's consent to the house, and then there's consent to search. They never asked her for a consent to search. If they would have asked her for a consent to search and presented her...
What did she think they were there for?
Well, at that time of night, confronted with the fact that there were armed police officers, at least five armed police officers at her curtilage of her apartment with a baby sleeping, Judge, I'm sure she had no idea. But when she opened the door, she surely didn't consent to be taken into custody, seized, sequestered from her husband, to have her baby searched, to have her husband be rousted in the shower. She was held at armed guard the whole time that the police officers were there. She asked to speak to her husband. She was not allowed to speak to her husband. And I think that shows that there was bad faith on behalf of the officers. The other thing that the district court specifically says, instinctive recoil. They essentially say in the 1027 opinion, this encounter was not voluntarily and strongly suggest intimidation and coercion. Instinctive recoil should not be taken for consent to enter without more persuasive evidence from the government. That is what the district court said in their October 27th of 04 opinion. But to go show their bad faith even further, they never gave Mr. Rankin his Miranda warnings. And it's unclear from the agent's testimony exactly when this consent to search was signed. After repeated questioning, they were able to say that the consent to search was signed sometime between 11:02 and 12:30 p.m. This goes to the well-established precedent of the Seventh Circuit. I think Jerez and Gillespie support the defendant's position in this particular case substantially. Jerez basically says that late-night entries are to be scrutinized with the greatest of caution. We want the police to get warrants to enter a home late at night to search. We want a neutral magistrate to come in and weigh in and evaluate the police entrance. Now, in this particular case, it's important to stress that the police did not have probable cause to enter the apartment. The reason that I raised the second issue in my brief regarding the expertise of the dog expert, the only thing that even gives them a scintilla of evidence that my client may be causally related to this event is this untrained dog and this untrained dog trainer. The only thing that they had when they went to Mr. Rankin's...
Why do you call him an untrained dog? Doesn't he have a 90% batting average?
He had a 90% batting average after the fact, Judge. This dog was only 10 months old at the time and had received approximately 6 months training. But the trainer itself had absolutely no training and admits that he was a novice.
Well, apparently the training worked, right? Because he has a good record.
I don't think it did, Judge. I think that the contamination
I don't understand. Isn't 90% pretty good for a dog?
The infallible dog is an illusion, Judge. And I don't think that this...
90% is not infallible. It's 90%. Why isn't that good enough?
The question is why would that lead to a probable cause under this particular circumstance?
Well, because it creates a 90% probability that, you know, there is ground for a search. So why is 90% enough for probable cause? I don't understand you. You want 100%? You want us to say dogs must be proved to be...
The dog's record and the trainer's record in this particular case are so scant and so incomplete.
You.
To say 90% when it was the dog's first search, I don't know how you can say 90%.
Well, where does the 90% figure come from?
Those are basically on training runs, and if you look at the training runs, they were substantially shorter and substantially less in time as to the evidence in this particular case. But if they had probable cause, why didn't they get the warrant, Judge? We want warrants.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Petro. Mr. Lang?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Michael Lang, appearing on behalf of the United States. May it please the Court. Your Honor, the District Court correctly denied the motion to suppress physical evidence taken both out of the house as well as the defendant's car. The Court found that the defendant's wife had consented to the officers and agents entering the house and that the defendant had consented to the search of his home as well as the car. And, Your Honor,
was the car owned by his wife?
Sir, I think the car was registered to his wife, and that is how they traced to get to the residence when they found the car locked by this preserve area. And then they found the bike approximately 20 yards from there, Your Honor. But the government maintains, Your Honor, that the court did not commit clear error in making these findings. And further that, in terms of the bloodhound human scent tracking evidence, that the court did not abuse its discretion in qualifying Chief Travis as an expert witness to take testimony in that regard. More specifically, Your Honor, under the totality of circumstances, the court found that the wife did grant entry into the house, that we had a uniformed officer there, two federal agents. They knocked or rang on the doorbell. She came to the door. They identified themselves. According to Agent McHugh, she invited them in. They got into the house. And at that point, Your Honors, they indicated they wanted to go. They asked who was there. She baby upstairs. My husband's up in the shower. They were looking for an armed bank robber. They then indicated that for their safety, they wanted to verify who was in the house, and then they did. And then, of course, things followed from there. The defendant was talked to in the kitchen. And at this particular time, Your Honor, they initially started talking to him. He was not under arrest. There were two agents and the defendant at the table, and they did not. They talked to him for about 12 minutes, did not advise him of his Miranda rights. When he made admissions, they then advised him of his Miranda rights. The judge found both the written statement and the unsworn statement and the sworn statements voluntary. This was ultimately followed by a consent to search, which advised the defendant of his right to refuse and stated it was voluntary. And unless the courts have any questions, sir, I would ask that the conviction and judgment be affirmed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lang, and thank you to Mr. Petro. Next.